We're in a series called The User Manual for Life, and we're talking about God's Word and how it's a user manual for life. Last week, we really talked about, like, why would we even study God's Word? Like, what's the goal of it? And we really talked about how it's this internal, eternal instruction manual for life, that it gives us answers to all of life's issues, problems, where we're going, our purpose. And today, we're in part two of that. It's just a short two-part series. And today, I just want to tell you a little bit about something in my life that I had to kind of learn how to do, and I think it relates to how often we can relate to God's Word. So, I'm not musical, okay? Like, not even close. If you ever stood beside me, can't even tap my foot and sing at the same time. Like, it's bad, right? I can't stay in tune, or I don't even know what it's called. But when I was in high school, I took a few guitar lessons, like two, and then my guitar teacher quit, and then I never took any more again. So then I got married, and our first Christmas, I think Wendy was giving me a hint. She gave me a guitar. Okay, it's this guitar right here. And when I first got it, I was kind of excited about it. And so, you know, I looked up some songs, just like trying to learn some chords and stuff. And I was absolutely terrible, and still am, okay? And so then we've been married for over 11 years. So after like the first like 6 months, I never picked it up again. But I wanted to be the cool youth pastor, so I put it in my office when I came here, and people come in like, do you play guitar? No, not really. But I look cool. I looked the part. So the thing was that was weird was, like, I thought, like, oh, I gotta sit down. I gotta practice for a really long time to, like, get good at this. And so that's why I never did. I'm like, I don't have time. It doesn't seem as important to me. And then over the pandemic, I was like, you know, I would really love to learn how to play guitar a little bit and get a little bit better at this. So What I decided to do was, I was like, I just need to take 15 minutes a day. Instead of thinking I got to lay out all this time, let me just take 15 minutes and start practicing. And like, my biggest issue was I cannot like strum and like strum pattern. And that, like, that was my biggest issue. Like, my brain just could not compute it. It was the craziest thing. So I started to pick it up. I started playing for 15 minutes a day. And now look, this takes a lot of guts for me to do, okay? Because I'm not that good. I've only learned a little bit of strumming. I don't even barely know any songs, okay? But it was crazy how after just taking 15 minutes a day for probably like 3 weeks, I was like, oh, my brain kind of started to get a little bit of strumming, okay? So I'm taking a step here, okay? So let's see. Let's see. Here we go, okay? All right. I'm just going to play a little bit. There you go. All right. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the support. But it was just kind of crazy how a little time over a long period of time equaled learning. And sometimes, I think often in life, we get caught up in two things. We get caught up in the how-to, or we get caught up in like the discipline of something, taking the time to do it, that we never really get to the doing part of it. And so oftentimes we get caught up with the how-to that we never get to the to. Now, you guys actually have some sheets on your table today, because today is like a how-to message. I wanted you to be able to take some notes if you want to. And today's main point is this: don't let the how-to get in the way of the do. So often we get mixed up in the how-to, that we let it get in the way of the do. And I think that was me. I'm like, well, how do I do it? How do I learn guitar? Do I have the time? Can I learn this? And instead just going, 15 minutes a day, let me just do it. And it wasn't all that long that I was like, okay, I can actually kind of do this. And I think reading God's Word is a lot like this. We don't know the how-to, or we don't get it, just like I didn't get strumming right away. And so we stop. We let the how-to, or I don't get it, get in the way of the to-do. And I think that we can find joy in reading God's Word, discovering it, and engaging people. And so here's what I want you to do. It's going to be really short because I don't have a ton of time, but I want you to turn to your table and talk about this. What approaches have you tried to study the Bible? Which have been effective, and what did you learn in the process? Go ahead. We're going to jump back in here. So in just a minute, we're going to get to some of the really specific how-tos, but before we get there, I want you to understand just a few things about God's word that I think are really foundational when we go to study it and meditate on it. The first one is this, the purpose of God's word in our life. The purpose of God's word. This is really, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And ultimately it says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is like the foundational purpose of God's work in our life, God's word in our life. Teaching, what does teaching mean? Teaching means instructing believers in God's truth, which we cannot otherwise know. We wouldn't know the things about God if it wasn't in his word. And that's foundational. Know that that's the purpose, to teach us. The second is kind of this idea of reproof. It could mean rebuke. And that is like the God's word criticizes or disciplines the sin in our life. It brings it out. It shows us that. The correction means it corrects the error in our life. It sets us right. It might not be that we necessarily are meaning to sin, but it's correcting us. It's bringing us back on the right path in life. And then lastly, training in righteousness is guiding in God's ways. Guiding in God's ways. Showing us his ways. And then it says, ultimately, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Complete means proficient and able to meet the demands. That's kind of cool to know that that's what God's word does in our life. It makes us complete and able to meet the demands of life, the things that God calls us to. And the word equip means to carry out God's mission for us. So the entire goal of God's word is to let his word saturate every aspect of our mind, soul, and lifestyle. That's the purpose of God's word. The second part is the seriousness of God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, but do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I think it's important to sometimes stop and say, let's talk about the seriousness of studying, meditating, reading on, understanding God's word. The word approved here means cut straight. And what it's talking about is back in these times, the Bible times, they would actually have to cut stone, hand cut stone. And the cornerstone was really important to the house, because if that cornerstone wasn't cut right, then the whole house was off. But if the cornerstone was cut right and someone took serious effort and precision to cut it right, then everything else would be stable around it. And so it's saying we need to be approved. We need to cut straight to understand God's word, to take it seriously, to go, what does this really mean? Not just to take it flippantly. And then it says, like, be approved so that you're a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Man, the worker that would spend all that would maybe cut the cornerstone wrong, he wouldn't take the time and the effort, well, he'd be ashamed of ultimately what he built. And so the encouragement here is, don't be one that is ashamed. Take the time to understand and handle God's word correctly. And so we need to take seriously when we study it, apply it, and meditate on it. And the last, so we talk about the purpose of God's word, the seriousness of God's word, and then this one's really important, the need of the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's word. I think sometimes we miss this. We think, not that it's wrong, we think we can take classes on it, we can read a book on God's word, we can, if you want to go to seminary to understand God's word, but we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's word. 1 Corinthians 9 through 13 says this, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And then continuing on, in verse 11, it says, who knows a person's thought except for the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given by God. And lastly, verse 13 says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. All those verses are talking about the need of the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Word of God, the things of God. Now, here's the thing. The Spirit of God does not help us come to a new understanding of God's word or of scripture. No, it helps us to depend on God to help us understand what God is saying. God has already made his word clear when he wrote it, when he inspired those authors to write it. We need the Holy Spirit to help us understand what God has already said. Without the Spirit, and because of our fallen and sinful nature, we can often both look at God's revelation, we call it general revelation, which is the world around us, and we can also look in his word, and without the Spirit, we can easily misinterpret it. And this can lead to damaging results. So how do we do that? Well, we need to just simply, I would say before we open God's word, pray and say, Lord, will you help us to understand what you're trying to teach me through this? That's why so often we pray before we ever get into a message, except for this one where I'm talking about God's word and I didn't pray. Let me just pray. I'm serious. Lord, help us to understand your word, to understand its seriousness, its purpose, how we need the Spirit to understand. God, it is a divine book with divine revelation. Help us understand. In Jesus' name, amen. So I would encourage you, before you open God's word in the morning, at night, at school, anytime, just pray and say, God, will you help me to understand what you mean in here so I can fully understand your truth? So I'm going to send you back to your table. I want you to talk about this question. How seriously do you take reading, studying, meditating on God's word? Explain your answer. You got about 4 minutes. Go ahead. Jump back in here. Let's get into some of the like practical how-to, because we understand the purpose of God's word in its life, God's word in our life, that it wants to equip us. We get the seriousness of God's word, and we get that the Holy Spirit needs to help us understand what God is saying. Let's just get into some of the how-tos. But the first one is like meditating. You hear the word meditating on scripture. You hear that quite often. Like, what does meditating really mean? To me, it means marinating, okay? Marinating, yeah, you got to go there. You'll always remember this, trust me. Yep. Marinating on God's word is letting it seep into our lives. Like, who likes a good juicy steak, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go. It's full send.
Oh, yeah,
so if you've ever had a steak that's not marinated, you're like, well, that's good. But then you get that one that you know marinated. Oh, man, that's good, right? Get that good taste. It's seeped into it. Well, in the same way, meditating on God's word isn't just like, okay, I read it, good for the day. Okay, checked it off. It's like, how do I let it seep into my life? How do I let it move in and work? And we're going to talk about how you do that. But it's letting it marinate in our lives. And the second thing about meditating on scripture is it's like mining for diamonds. That's a diamond mine. Like, we talk about, you look at these little rocks on women's fingers or on necklaces or whatever it may be. Super expensive. The work that they have to go to get a diamond, but we count that so precious. And in the same way, when we take the time to go mining for diamonds in God's word, when we're willing to give it the time, we're willing to work through it, we come out with some really precious things, some truths from his word. But it's not easy all the time. Just like with guitar, it's like, I can't just be like, well, I didn't get it, so I'm leaving. It's like, I got to be willing to do some work and seek to apply it. So that's just a really quick meditating on scripture. But here's your option number one. If you want to talk about how do I study God's word, option number one is this. Pick a book of the Bible and read it in small sections. Read it in small sections. First option number one, pick a book of the Bible, read it. I would recommend you write this down. Start in the book of John. Book of John is a great book to start in. For people like me that have a hard time just sitting down and reading, it's a great passage, book to start in. It's talking about the life of Jesus, written in an easy way to understand. My encouragement to you is, you can, but I would encourage you, don't start with a whole chapter. Like, start with some sections. I would start, if you're going to start in the book of John, start with verses 1 through 18. It's kind of a complete thought there. Start in verses 1 through 18. And here's what I would encourage you to do. If you want to meditate on scripture, you want to let marinate in your life, you want to mine for some diamonds, answer these three questions every time you open God's word. And actually write these down. Write these down when you're studying God's word. The first one is, read the scripture and ask, what do I learn about God? What do I learn about God from this passage? We want to learn, we want to mine for some diamonds there. What am I learning about God? Because often, if we just read it, we kind of skim over a lot. But when we stop to ask these questions, that's how we learn One, what do I learn about God? Two, what do I learn about people? That could be like, how and why do people act, think, feel the way they do? How do I learn about myself personally? How I act, think, do? Do I identify with anybody in this story? So what do I learn about people? And then the third question is, how can I apply this to my life? So three really simple questions. And I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I would actually, and I'm going to tell you why I would say, you can do this on your phone. I'm okay with that. I'm just telling you why I would personally actually write it down. I would get a notebook that you can begin meditating on scripture. You can go back. There's something about actually handwriting something that helps to get imprinted on your brain. So, want to meditate on scripture? Pick a book of the Bible. Take small sections of it. Ask these three questions every morning. Open it. Do it. And guess what? We're actually going to do that in shepherd groups this week. We're going to actually meditate on God's word in our shepherd groups. So, option number two, YouVersion plans. YouVersion plans. Hey, make the best use of technology. YouVersion plans are great. These are helpful to walk you through the Bible. They can walk you through specific topics. If you don't have the YouVersion, go to the App Store, go to the Google Play Store, download the YouVersion Bible app, open up a plan there. It helps walk you through God's word in a really great way. I've done some really great plans on the YouVersion. Here's the third option. Devotionals. This is a devotional by John MacArthur. It's on the book of Revelation. I did it. Got all my notes here. It walks you. It's really like the YouVersion, except for it's a paper devotional, right? And you're like, man, Revelation, hard book to understand. Well, this really helps you walk through it. And so you're understanding the scripture. I would say this is probably a very logical way to go through scripture when you take a devotional that's going to go through a book of the Bible. But there's devotionals on all kinds of things. I think devotionals are a great way to walk through God's word. It's kind of helping you marinate in it. It's kind of helping you meditate on it because it's asking you questions to think through it. And this is the fourth one, is reading the Bible in a year or two or three or however long it would take you. This is a cool way to understand scripture as a whole. I can't say if you're starting to want to really make God's word a part of your life, I can't say that I would recommend this one as the first place to go to. Once you get to Leviticus, you're like, oh no, what did I get myself into? You know, I think a little bit down the road, you can take Bible as a whole of scripture. So, four really simple how-to ways of how could I begin studying God's word. If it's the eternal user manual for life, it tells me about myself, tells me about the world around me, it answers the questions I have, tells me about how to handle life with other people. Four ways to simply get into the word of God and allow it to impact me. So, what do you do when you don't understand something? Because you're going to come to this often. If you're like, I really want to read God's word, I'm going to start doing one of these options, you're going to come to a point where you're like, I don't understand this. And that could make you go, just like guitar, I'm just going to give up. I don't get it. I can't understand it. It seems too hard. I'm not getting anything from it. Boom, I'm going to walk away. Let me give you a couple things you can do. The first one is pray and ask the Lord to help you to understand. How often do we get to something, we don't understand it, and so we just give up instead of going, Lord, will you help me? The Spirit, will you help me understand this? Will you help me to work through this? Don't just immediately give up. Go to the Lord. You know, part of mining for diamonds is that sometimes it's a little difficult, but that's what makes it worth it. So pray and ask the Lord. You may or may not know, and it's hard to see here, and I forgot to put a picture of it up there, but in a lot of Bibles, there's these things called cross references. And cross references will be like, okay, I'm in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 3-4. And like in the middle of the Bible, it'll say 13:4, and then it'll give you a bunch of other verses to go to. Some of you are like, I've always wondered, why was that in the middle there? The whole point of that is sometimes you might not understand that verse, but the verses that they give you in the cross reference help you to understand that verse. So do that. Like actually go. Don't just give up. Go, I mean, maybe this other verse will help me to understand this verse. Actually use those cross references. Someone way smarter than me did a lot of hard work to do that. Take advantage of it. I would say first, pray and ask God to help you understand. Don't give up. Use the cross references. Second, I would encourage you, talk to your parents, a small group leader, one of the pastors here, or find a trusted friend that you feel like has some biblical knowledge that could help you understand those things. The third thing I would encourage you to do is go to gotquestions.org, www.gotquestions.org. It's an awesome biblical resource that helps you answer in a really good, succinct way some questions about God's word. The fourth thing I would encourage you to do is get a study Bible. The ESV study Bible and the NIV Life Application study Bible are two really great study Bibles. They give you notes in the bottom that help you understand Scripture. That's actually, for me, when I really started to get into God's Word, I got my first study Bible, and I just remember, I'm like, oh, I get this now. This makes more sense. Like, the study notes really, really helped me. So there's a couple things to do when you don't understand something. And so we talk about some of the how-tos. They're kind of simple, but it takes some of the discipline of doing it, of continuing to work through it, allow God to speak to you. And so ultimately, we want to study the Bible obediently. We want to study the Bible obediently. We don't want to study it just for knowledge. Last week I talked about if you study it just for knowledge's sake, because all it does is puff you up in your pride. We want to study it obediently. John 14, 15 through 17 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." That's the Holy Spirit, "to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." And so, study it obediently. God says, "If you love me, you obey my commands." Don't just read it for knowledge. Don't just read it to check it off a list. Study it obediently to allow God to speak to you. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 2 minutes, everyone at your table, to quickly go around and say, which option, if you were going to start this week reading God's Word, which one would you start with? 2 minutes, go. Okay. Here's what I'm going to end with. These are going to be kind of rapid fire. We're going to end, and then we're going to end with one more word. So I'm going to go through these. I want to give you 8 reasons why and how you can stick to reading God's Word and growing closer to Him this year. Flip over on the back of your sheet. There's 8 reasons there. Okay. The first reason is why and how you can stick to reading God's Word and grow closer to God this year. The first one is take it seriously. We talked about it. It's the seriousness of God's Word. Do your best to present yourself as one approved, a worker doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Take it seriously. Take it like, this is actually something that matters to my life. I want to take it seriously. Not just as a second thought, but as the first thought in my life. The second reason is there is a spiritual battle in reading God's word. Expect difficulties. Like, expect difficulties. Don't just expect like you're going to get it. It's all going to be easy. It's all going to be perfect. Ephesians 6 says this, 10 through 11 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So if it's saying, it's this first part is somehow, put on the whole armor of God. That's the beginning when he starts talking about the armor of God. Well, guess what one of the pieces of the armor is? Ephesians 6, 16 through 17 says, "Take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows, darts of the evil one." And then it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So if it's saying put on the armor and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is one of those, then that means we can expect a spiritual battle about reading God's word. You can expect that when you're like, tomorrow morning, maybe you already said this to yourself, tomorrow morning, I am setting my alarm 15 minutes earlier. Why don't you just already expect when you try to get up tomorrow, you're going to be like, snooze. Like, just expect it coming instead of just being like, oh, no, I guess it's just I'm tired. No, expect that there's actually a spiritual battle going on. Now, I'm not saying look around every corner and be like, God, Satan's trying to get me to not read God's word. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying expect that there's going to be difficulties around reading God's word. Number three, don't forget about it. Like, sometimes we just get busy and forget. We're not even really meaning, and we have all the greatest intentions, but we just forget sometimes. We forget one day. We forget two. Guess what happens that third day? What do we say to ourselves? I give up. It's too hard. I already messed up. Why do it again? So let's remember, here's what Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. For you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." I've actually seen this in Israel. When you go into the hotels, they have the word of God in little scrolls above the doorpost. Why? So every time you go out, you see the word of God, you remember it. They actually wear these, I know it sounds kind of weird, but they wear these boxes on their heads at times, the really devout Jews, and it has scripture in there. If you had a box on the top of your head, you'd be like, I'm remembering that thing. And then lastly, they'll take God's word and they'll write it on leather straps and they wrap it around their arms. They took this very seriously to remember, because we know how easily you forget. So put a reminder on your phone. Put two reminders on your phone. Put five, because some of y'all are terrible remembering. Put a 3x5 card on your mirror. Write it on your calendar. Do whatever it takes to make it a habit. Remember this. Routine equals results. Routine equals results. When you make something a routine in your life, it will produce results in your life, for good or for bad. Number four, don't run from comfort and uncertainty. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run to run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Then he says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box when beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I might be disqualified." Like, reading your Bible, it's not always, there's going to be some times you're like, dude, I heard from God here. There's going to be other times you're like, I did three questions, I studied, I sought God out, and there wasn't some major thing, and that's probably the norm, but it's not always going to be enjoyable. But what is? Working out, trying to be healthy. It's not always easy. Amusement parks, they're fun for a day, maybe two, maybe a week if you go to Disney. But even after that, you're like, it kind of loses its enjoyment. Things are not always enjoyable, but we continue to seek them out because they're worth it. The things which are difficult at times often lead to the greatest reward. Number five, don't give in to the temptation out of habit. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Okay, let me go back to the sleeping in part. We want to get out of bed, and we might even set an alarm earlier than normal. Maybe we even do that for 2 or 3 days. We're like, I'm in it. I want to read God's word. I'm going to wake up early. We set that alarm. But then the fourth day comes. You stayed up too late playing video games or finishing homework. And what happens? It's all too easy to give into that temptation to hit the snooze button. But start seeing temptation not as a say no to what you want in the moment, but say yes to what you know the better goal is. It's a mind shift. Instead of it being like, I don't want to do that. I just want to go to sleep. No, instead of looking and say, no, I want to get up because I want to hear from God. Temptation ultimately can just become kind of habit. It's what we do in our lives. We give into what's easy. We don't want to do it, so we move. Don't give into the temptation of habit. God will provide a way for you to grow and to work and make routines in your life. Number six is this. Don't let your brain rationalize or negotiate itself out of reading God's word. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Guys, we are the best rationalizers in our mind. Often I'll come home to Wendy and I'll be like, I got this great idea. And then she's like, you're crazy. And I'm like, I know, but let me tell you why I'm not crazy. We're so good at rationalizing. Have we ever said this to ourselves? Hey, it won't hurt to miss one day. You've been working really hard at school this week. You don't need to read God's word. You've been really busy this week. Plus, you went to shepherd group. You don't need to spend time with God. We're really good at negotiating with ourselves. I'll read my Bible after blank. I'll finish blank first and then read it. We're so good at rationalizing and negotiating with ourselves. Whatever is most important should be prioritized by your time and your schedule. That's why I'm not saying you have to do this. I make it the first thing in the morning because I know if I don't do it first thing in the morning, I'll never do it. Too much comes up. Number seven, keep the main thing the main thing. 1 Timothy 4, 7-8 says, have nothing to do with irrelevant silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as a whole promise for the present life and also the life to come. Remember, reading God's word isn't about to gain more knowledge. It's not about to check it off a list. It's not about growing pride so you can say, I did it. It's about learning to be more like Christ and more like God. And here's number eight. Create a time and a space that is free from distraction. Here's what Luke 15:5-16 says, "But now, even more, the report about him went abroad. So the news about Jesus started to go out among the people. And the great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. And you would think Jesus would be like, yeah, more come on. No, it says, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. When you go to read God's word, go somewhere where there's no distractions, where it's quiet. I would highly recommend you don't put your phone by you when you go to read God's word. Unless you're doing the YouVersion plan, then I don't know what to do for you. They had this new thing on the new iOS called Focus. You heard of those? Anybody, the Focus things? You can use those to distractions. But ultimately, create a place in your house, wherever it is you may go, that you can be away from distractions to hear from God's word. Why? Because ultimately, God's word is the eternal user manual for life. Let me pray, and then we're going to worship one last song. Lord God, thank you for your truth today, Father, about your word. And I pray that we were encouraged, God, to walk out your word. I pray that students will desire to read it and know it, Lord. I pray you'd just bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen.